I've been all across this
country. Okie dokie, folks, and welcome to Monday Night Shaw right here on the Backbreaker Media Network. I am your lovely host, Kyle Shaw, a.k.a. the Canadian Goose. And on the show this week is my buddy from a long time back when I first went to my first ever RCW show at the Festival Hall in Red Deer. The guy that's on the show tonight was the ring announcer. So there's a little bit of a legacy here. It is the legend, T. James Logan. Have I got your everything right?
Yes, you do.
Awesome possum. How are you doing, brother?
You know what? I'm doing good, Kyle. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty decent, you know? Like, I was online the other day. You know, every once in a while, I like to go back for nostalgic purposes and watch old stuff. And I came across the matches that me and you did commentary for a CWE show in Springbrook for Gutbuster TV. And I watched those and I was like, you know, I haven't talked to TJ in a long time. So I should probably chat him up and see if he wants to be on the podcast. I know you got your own podcast going on right now too. Can you tell the listeners what that's all about, where they can find it?
Sure. Right now I'm involved with an American-based network called Wrestling POV. And they started their show was basically two guys, a former wrestler and a super fan. And their whole thing was to give their point of views of what was going on in WWE.
Okay.
And they built this network for the last 5 years. And about three years ago, they had an opening. The fans had been telling them they wanted people to start covering other wrestling things. And they were just like, well, they felt like they didn't have time to do a deep coverage like they do on their weekly show. Mm-hmm. So they sent out an advertisement all across the internet and other places and in forums looking for a host to do an international show.
Okay.
And as you know, for me, I had been doing podcasting in Alberta for quite a long time. And I had a minor show. We covered lots of local stuff. We covered guys coming in. I got a chance to interview, you know, bigger name guys from companies that would come in as attractions.
You had a
but
show
my
with,
longtime editor at the time
Ivan,
decided
right?
to. Sorry?
I remember you had a show about like pop culture with What About Ivan?
Yes, we had all kinds of, you know, I liked the idea of podcasting at the time a lot more. I wanted to do a lot of local stuff, do stuff like pop culture, politics. You know, at that time, I was very interested in that. And at the time, though, I'm pretty sure my editor wasn't as interested, but he was getting on in age and he had a bit of a health scare. And then he just said to me, I'm going to retire.
Yeah.
And right there, Kyle, like I tell you, we joked about this before going on. I used to edit all my shows before my editor. It was a lot of work. And you probably know that. You edit your own shows. It's a lot of work.
Well, I just want to give a quick shout out here to Mike the Ref, who edits all my shows for me.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much.
Mike can tell you, it's a long, tedious thing.
I appreciate him doing it for me as well. Like, I imagine it is a lot of work.
I got to tell you, Kyle, for doing like a 1 hour show, it used to take me like 3 hours to edit. You know, it's just like, really? And when he told me he was retiring, really, my first thought was, okay, I'm done. I'm not doing it anymore. Maybe I'll do a little things, but I'm not doing any ongoing stuff. It's too much, you know?
Yeah.
But then he said to me, hey, I sent your name to this, to these guys in the States who are looking for a host for their show. I sent a resume in for you and maybe they'll contact you, you know, maybe you could work on with them. And I thought about it and I remember in my head thinking, well, I don't know. I've been doing wrestling a long time in Alberta and it doesn't really feel like I've really done a lot. Like, I mean, I've hopefully given some guys some look at, but Alberta's a small market, unfortunately, you know?
Yeah,
as fun as it is,
it's very isolated.
Yeah, it's very isolated. There's great talent here who, if geographically we were in somewhere else, there'd be guys having much more bigger opportunities and careers.
Yeah,
and like I've seen a lot of guys.
I'm just saying there's a lot of guys here that the only reason that people don't know who they are is just because they don't get seen, because the footage doesn't really make its way out into the general universe other than, you know, one or two times if, you know, Teddy Hart takes a Canadian destroyer off a ladder, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny you brought up that one, because we I had taped a clip of that and used it, and it brought a lot of attention across the U.S. for PWA for that one. But you know, the reason I started podcasting in the whole place, the reason it was wrestling, was me and my buddy, we went to PWA shows. We saw these guys. We didn't even know wrestling really existed in this form. It was my first introduction to indie wrestling.
Okay.
And I watched it and I thought, wow, I was so entertained. I was enjoying it so much. And then I look around and the crowd is like 100 people. And I'm thinking, we're in a city of 1 million people. And 100 people have seen this.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes. So my whole dream in the beginning was, if I could just get somebody in Edmonton or Calgary or Red Deer to hear this and want to come to a show, this helps the guys out. You know?
Yeah.
And that was the whole crux of all of what I did through all of this, was hoping that I could promote guys somewhere else, where some wrestler anywhere on any company in Alberta that I saw, and I put a word in and got it out there, that maybe a promoter would hear them and try them out or further someone's career. Awesome. That's all I cared about.
100%. And I'm right there with you. Like the whole, like when I started Monday Night Shaw, like, don't get me wrong, I don't plug upcoming shows probably as much as I should, but I'm definitely all about encouraging people to go check out live wrestling, you know, whether you're in Alberta or anywhere, because it's such a good time. It really is. It's my favorite thing, like form of entertainment, you know, absolute, mm-hmm. Watching it on TV is not the same. I would much rather sit in a hall with 14 other fans and watch guys wrestle live than I would sit at home and watch an episode of Monday Night Raw.
Right. And when you're sitting there with those 14 other fans, I guarantee you there's at least one match where you saw where you went, damn, if more people saw this, they would be having so much more fun like me.
Yeah, and I mean, it's even better when, instead of having 14 people in the crowd, because it's a real small show, maybe there's like it's a big show when like they brought in The Godfather and there's like 400 people there.
Yeah.
Then it's awesome. Like, then it's just like, especially if you're in the ring, like wrestling, like that's a pretty crazy feeling.
Well, I remember, so I'm at this point where I'm like, okay, do I really want to talk to these guys? Do I really want to? Because the point here is, if I move on to this new show,
mm-hmm.
indie wrestling is kind of gone for me. They're not asking me. They don't care about what's locally going on around me. They're hiring me, if I go on, to talk about AEW and national promotions.
Okay.
So I'm thinking to myself, do I want to do that? I mean, I really just started this, you know, to try and get a look at the guys I know. But then my wife says to me, well, she kind of talked to me about it. And she goes, you love wrestling. Is there a way that this show can do that at all? And I thought about it. And then I asked them, I said, and you'll notice on the beginning of our first 10 episodes, I asked if I could have a segment where I could highlight an Albertan wrestler that I knew.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And they said, yeah, by all means, it's your show.
Have you ever talked
about me? So that's what I did in the beginning. We used to highlight, we had Sheik Akbar Shabazz. We talked about him. We had a little interview with him. So he got his name, and all the other wrestlers we had on the first couple episodes, they got their names across the U.S. Because my show has over like pretty close to 30,000 subscribers now.
Oh, damn.
And it's all mostly based in the U.S.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I just tell me, man. I tell you, Kyle, I went from our last Gutbuster stuff, we had maybe like 450 followers.
Mm-hmm.
To go to that to over 20,000 overnight was quite the jump.
No kidding. Yeah, that's incredible. Good for you, brother.
Yeah, so, you know, that started then, and then, you know, it was getting harder because, you know, I only had so many wrestlers that I knew intimately enough to be able to push on this forum.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I concentrated a bit on doing the show. Now, the show was called WPOV Global.
Okay.
And the idea was, in the beginning, we covered ROH, We covered New Japan. We covered Impact. But then all of a sudden, AEW started. And they wanted me to really start doing a counterpoint where we would do a very deep look at every AEW episode. They would do a deep look at NXT, and we would kind of vote and compare them.
Okay.
So that kind of where it shifted to that for a while. Along the way, I had a couple co-hosts. The original co-host, all I'm going to say is the guy we had, Magic Mike, went insane. Okay. First show, he was struggling.
Okay.
The second show, he started making up stuff, like, so badly.
Oh, like, really?
It became evident to me that he actually wasn't watching the shows that we were
recovering. And he was, like, making stuff up.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you a great example. There's a wrestler in New Japan. He's a mid-heavyweight guy. I can't think of his name right now. He dyes his hair, but he's a small dude, and he's usually their champion off and on. And this guy really is maybe 5'5", and he's maybe 160 pounds. He's a small dude.
Is that right? Like Will Ospreay?
Oh, he's smaller than Will Ospreay.
Oh, wow.
He's a Japanese guy. And so we were talking about him one day, and Magic Mike, all of a sudden, because he knows I told him which matches to watch, starts talking about this guy. Now, I notice he's not actually talking about the match, but he starts saying, oh, man, he is such a monster of a man. He is so big compared to most of those Japanese guys. And he's going on, and I'm like, what? You know? And anyone who would have known that wrestler would have known, like, what is he talking about? The guy's 5'5". Like, so afterwards, I talked to him, and I'm like, dude, have you been watching any of the stuff we cover? And he's like, no. I don't want to watch anything but ROH. And I'm like, well, how do you expect us to cover a show if you're not willing to put in the stuff?
Yeah.
So that's fine. The next week comes, he gets sick 10 minutes into the show and says, I can't do this. Oh. And then he like logs off and sends me a thing saying, oh, I'm throwing up. I'm blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what's going on? And then a half hour later, he's like, I've had it. I don't want to work for these guys. Me and you should go do our own podcast. I'm like, dude, I don't even know who the hell you are.
These guys have 20,000 fucking subscribers. Why would we leave that platform?
Yeah, why
and,
would we?
And why would I leave that platform to
no
join you
for,
who
for
doesn't put in the homework? In like, oh, boy.
So we lost him. Okay. We just decided.
Good riddance is what it sounds like to me.
Yeah. So in about the 10th episode, we picked up a guy from Toronto named Elio. Elio was awesome. A little more quiet, kind of tame, does all our editing work. So he came in and he did the show with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then roughly near our 100th episode, I had started another show. And the other show is the show that I really love, man. And it's a show that's been doing a lot for us. And it's called WPOV Quarantine.
Okay.
And Quarantine, of course, came out of the fact that we were all quarantined. There wasn't any wrestling going on. So what the heck are we supposed to really be talking about, right? I mean, AEW is still going on, but there was nothing else. But then it occurred to me, if nobody's wrestling really besides AEW or WWE,
RCW,
there's a heck of a lot of wrestlers sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah.
So I got on my horn and I started contacting these guys, and I came up with an idea for a roundtable Zoom show where you could log in on YouTube and you could see all of us talking. And I would have various different wrestlers on, and we would have a topic. And it wouldn't really be an interview. It would be more like talking about a certain topic, and everyone would chime in and do things.
Okay.
And it started slowly building. And then we had Andy Anderson come on one episode.
Oh,
he loved it a lot. Came on another episode. Then he decided he could do a global episode with us. And then a couple weeks later, Andy Anderson joined us and is now a co-host of both Quarantine and Global with me every week.
That's awesome. I don't know if I've really... I think I met Andy like once.
Okay.
He's a PWA fellow, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I mean...
The Lone Wolf Andy Anderson.
I think I've met him once or twice. Just sort
okay.
of
so
shook
he
his
joined
hand
me there.
And, hi, I'm Kyle type thing.
So we started doing shows. Our numbers keep growing and growing. Steady amount of growth, which is nice. Mm-hmm. We promote our sister show, WPOV, which covers the WWE. But then all of a sudden, I had somehow I lucked on, and I had an old friend that I had done a lot of work with before, back in Gutbuster days, named Chief Attakulakula.
Okay.
And Chief was sitting around with me one day, and we're talking, and we did some stuff, and I was coming up with ideas, and I said, hey, he says to me, hey, why don't we get Savio Vega on your show? I'm like, yeah, that would be awesome. He goes, yeah, I'll ask him. I'm like, what? So yeah, he phones up Savio Vega. Boom.
Just happens Savio to have Vega his phone number? That's
yeah,
great.
Yeah, Chief is, so he phones him up, talks with him, gets him on the show. Then the next week he says to me, hey, you got that one coming up. We should get D'Lo Brown on the show. Oh, sounds good to me. Next thing you know, we got D'Lo Brown. Then we get on other big names, you know. I'm trying to think of the names we've had on, and there's just been so many recently.
I saw one of the Bushwhackers on there.
Yeah, we had Bushwhacker Luke came on. We had Glamour Boy Shane. If you were like a fan, me growing up as a fan of Puerto Rico wrestling, the chance to talk to Glamour Boy Shane was big for me.
Okay.
Because he was like probably the most popular white, non-Spanish face that Puerto Rico wrestling ever had.
Is I mean, excuse me if I'm sounding ignorant here, but is he the fellow that became a referee in TNA for a while?
For a little bit. Shane Sewell, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We had him on. And it's just been growing, you know. I mean, my old friend Dan Crawford came back on. We had Bruce Hart on.
Oh, Bruce is awesome.
Bruce was really fun. You know, we had like, we just had so many, and then minor people, like wrestlers who are big on the independents, but don't have national names that I've always wanted to talk with and get on the show, like Gabby Gilbert. I've been a fan of hers for like 15 years. And to get her on was awesome. You know, we've had all these mix of wrestlers. And, you know, I was just telling you before we went on last week. And one of the things, you know, I've always talked about getting guys a look at is one of my, probably the major driving force. But the other one is the preservation of wrestling history.
Yeah.
I grew up in the time where Stampede Wrestling was very big in the early 80s. And I remember tons of stuff, but none of it's out there. I can't find any of it on YouTube. Like, there's some of it, but nowhere the richness. And some of the people who I remember vividly, if you weren't there, you have no idea. You know?
Yeah.
I could explain to you how exciting and how mind-blowing it was for Ron Ritchie to do his comeback. And you would have no clue if you didn't watch that, who Ron Ritchie is, and you could never look it up. And I look on Wikipedia, you can't find anything about Ron Ritchie except maybe he won a belt and, you know what I mean? Nothing.
Yeah.
So I realized this was a chance, if I could get older wrestlers sometimes on, we could start telling the stories, start getting that history recorded. Which is why I've had Dan Crawford on every show that I've ever produced. I've had him come on sometime on an episode because he encapsulates so much of an era of Stampede Wrestling that's gone. He was there. He still has his faculties. He tells the stories and the behind the things. You know, the ladder match. You know the ladder match, Kyle? You
yep.
see that match?
Yep.
Did you know who invented it?
I think it was Stu Hart thing.
You're close. It was a Dan Crawford thing. He convinced Stu Hart about it and invented the match when he wrestled for Stu Hart.
Okay, yeah. No, yeah. I was watching a documentary about Stampede Wrestling last mm-hmm. week, and they mentioned it happened in 1972 or something. And I was
wow. It was in the 70s.
Yeah.
And it was Dan Crawford, and I think he said it was Torquemada, maybe? They had this feud going, and the whole idea was money onto the rope, and then it turned into a belt. But the thing is, nobody, unless you 100% had in your idea, I'm going to find out who made the ladder match, you still have to dig a lot.
Yeah.
And maybe you'll find it and maybe you don't, right? So the whole point was to get on these older wrestlers and get them. And I don't mean wrestlers like a minor nobody wrestler, but to get a guy who made a difference, who enriched wrestling as a whole. Now, a lot of those guys were dying. My dream guy was always to get Nick Bockwinkel. But by the time they tried to set up an interview with him, he started getting into dementia, and it was not a good thing.
Yeah, that's too bad.
So last week I had the opportunity to have the Tennessee Stud Ron Fuller on.
Oh, solid.
And I got to tell you, man, the stories this guy told, Kyle, if you've never listened to any of my quarantines, I would say listen to this one. And if you love wrestling, you're going to love this guy's storytelling. He's 74 years old, and he remembers every single detail and what year and the wrestlers that he's with at the time. You know, he's telling you stories with Kevin Sullivan, and he's telling you stories with like Blackjack Mulligan and all these Arn Anderson and all these big name dudes in their prime, you know.
Nice.
And it's incredible. And you know, we spent an hour talking with him because, you know, that infamous storm that just broke out in Houston. He was actually in Houston at the time telling me this, and his handler sent me a thing saying, hey, there's like a horrible storm breaking out and our power's flickering on and off. I think you should wrap it up so we don't just get cut off.
Oh, yeah. No.
And we did. And well, look what happened. That snowstorm cut off a ton of people in Texas.
It's a rough situation going on down there from what I hear.
Oh, crazy, eh?
Like apparently,
I mean, it's hard
like...
for us to be too sympathetic at minus 50, but let's face it. I mean, they don't deal ever with snow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like I was watching Philip DeFranco on YouTube, and he was saying that like the folks that do have power, the power, like the charge for power has gone so far through the roof that it's gone from like $22 a megawatt to $9,000 a megawatt or whatever. It's like even if you do have power, you can't afford to use any of it. Like,
right. And then you get people who are so desperately, they're not thinking, they're like lighting barbecues in their apartments.
Oh boy.
And trying to burn wood and bowls. And how much damage is that going to cause?
Yeah. And then I saw that there was some mayor of some town that made a bunch of like ignorant, boneheaded comments. But you know what? This is not a political podcast. So let's just move on and
let's
wish the
back,
best
yeah.
of luck to everybody in Texas. Hopefully everyone stays safe and whatnot.
So that's kind of right now, like, you know, we have two weekly shows that I do. One is all covering the AEW. We do a really deep dive into it, me, Andy, and Elio. And then with the second half of the show, we field a couple questions we set out there, get the fans involved, and then discuss our take on it, and then, you know, talk about what the fans wrote. And so that's that show. And then Quarantine is just an ongoing rotation of topics and guests. I know we're talking with Kevin Sullivan right now.
Oh, nice.
We're trying to get him on an episode, and we're thinking of down the line of doing like doing about factions and maybe having James J. Dillon on, you know. So one of the nicest things about this show is every old-time big name wrestler, including guys like Savio and Ron Fuller, these guys, every single person we've had on the show has asked if they could come back. And they've also suggested other friends who are big name dudes. I mean, we just did a show a couple weeks ago where we did Madman Pondo and Angel Medina from ECW, and it was going to be about hardcore wrestling.
Okay. I've heard Madman Pondo. That's a crazy, like, that's
yeah, he is a legend
CCW
in this
and stuff.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And Angel Medina, if his name doesn't ring a bell yet, if you watched ECW, he was one of the Baldies.
Okay. Yeah.
So the two of them were coming onto the show, and about 3 days before the show comes on, I get a message from Madman Pondo, and he says, hey, I have a friend of mine who's a woman who does hardcore wrestling, and I think she would be really cool to have on the show. Do you think we could have room for her? And I said, well, do you want to, sure. What would you like to ask her? And he's like, yeah, I'll ask her and see if she's interested. And so boom, Jules Malone joins the show.
Oh, awesome.
And we have three people talking about their love of hardcore wrestling, talking about stories and going into why they do it, the innovations of what they do, the things they do. And you get a whole look at a topic from a way you may not have seen it because you're seeing it from the people who are there.
Yeah.
You know? When we did the couple Puerto Rico episodes, we got a look in, which is a tough one because Puerto Rico is this mysterious mecca in any wrestling fan's head. You see the history of how cool it was, but it's all Spanish. It's really hard to, unless you're Spanish, to break into that world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we get these guys on and they're telling us all of what it's like there, of all the travels and the things and the behind the scenes things that happen. You know, we had Bill Dundee, who was down from Tennessee just about a month ago. He's telling us all about life in with Jerry Lawler and that aspect of wrestling. And it's just been a really cool eye-opening wide. I don't know. I just love it, man.
Yeah, that's
and
that's awesome.
Yeah. Buddy. And you can catch those shows, you were saying, where you can find them on iTunes, iHeartRadio, iPod, TuneIn. Name of the show is WPOV Quarantine. If you want to watch the best of quarantine, you watch it on YouTube because you can see everybody. It's, you know. But if you don't want to, if you don't have time to sit and watch a YouTube thing and you want to just listen to the podcast, you can still find Quarantine and WPOV Global. You can find them on all those things, iTunes, iPod, whatever, under WPOV Wrestling. We're listed in there. And WPOV Wrestling, there's two funny dudes who do a really good show from New York and New Mexico, respectively. They're doing their show about the WWE. So it's a fun network, man.
That's awesome, buddy. I don't know if it was before, but in addition to being a podcaster, like I say, you also have done commentary on wrestling shows, mm-hmm. and were a ring announcer. So can you tell me a little bit about how you went from sitting in the stands to actually being involved in the show?
Well, the podcasting thing was the key start.
Okay.
Originally, when we did our podcasting, we were just the guys sitting in the crowd. As much as we talked to the wrestlers would be as much as any fan would talk to the wrestlers, like a hey, maybe a handshake, maybe screaming at them in the match.
Mm-hmm.
As the podcast grew, promoters started asking me if I wanted to come backstage and be a part of, you know, like it, actually interview the guys directly, which blew me away. So all of a sudden, guys are letting me in. And then other guys from other companies are phoning me up. Hey, we know you do this thing. Would you like to come down and cover a show with us? We'll let you come backstage. So that became a thing. And then they started offering me, you know, like, I'll give you an example. You know, the first time I worked for RCW, the promoter, Steve, phoned me up and he said, hey, can you come watch our show? You come on down and I'll give you a 20-minute interview with, there's been so many. I've interviewed Kenny Omega because of him.
Oh, wow.
You know, we did a 20-minute interview with Kenny Omega. You know, I've interviewed AJ Styles. I mean, there was a time in a less than a month period, I interviewed AJ Styles, Kenny Omega, and the NWA World Champion, Nick Aldis. So I had three world champions within the span of a month.
That's crazy, bud.
And so that started happening. And then I got hooked up with a company called CNWA. They started up. Vance Nevada started this promotion. And he asked me to be their head promo guy, where I'd be in charge of doing all the interviews with all the big name guys. And I would coordinate stuff and work with, you know, sometimes with the younger talent, talking about promos and how things work and stuff, right?
Like the mean gene of CNWA?
Well, that in a way, because then he started one day, he asked me, they wanted me to ring announce. They didn't have a ring announcer. Okay.
Okay.
And they asked me to ring announce. And I remember the first half of it, I didn't know what I was doing. I mm-hmm. was pretty nervous, uncharismatic. And he takes me aside and it's like at intermission, he said, hey, you know what? We're going to send in this other wrestler and let him finish the thing.
That's the same thing that happened to me on my first show.
Yeah. I got insulted.
Well, I didn't get insulted, but I was, I suck. This is not a good feeling, but
I got insulted because I didn't want to do this originally. And they kind of forced me into it. And the next thing you know, they're saying I'm not good enough. Right.
Okay.
And I'm not going to name the wrestler. They had this wrestler and they said, well, we'll get, he'll do this thing. And he's standing next to me. And I'm like, this guy has the personality of a fucking table leg.
Oh,
you're replacing me with that. I'm sorry if I swore and if it's off your thing, maybe you can edit it out. But, I was so insulted, man.
Yeah, no, you.
And I'm getting mad for something I don't want to do.
Allowed to swear. Okay, so this happens, and you're standing right next to this guy, and you say that.
Yep.
Like, did you get heat for talking about one of the wrestlers like that?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, because this is my thing, man. I've walked into many things, and I'm always clear about something. I'm respectful of wrestlers. Okay. Mm. I'm respectful of people. But I'm also not a kiss ass. And I don't, just because you're a wrestler doesn't make you any more special than anyone else. Okay.
Okay.
I respect what you do, but you're not Johnny Superstar. You're a guy who has a job to do. And I'm a guy who has a job to do. And if you think you're going to push me around, bully me, make me do something, it's not going to happen.
So is this guy, you know, like a kind of a dick too? or
no, that was the worst part.
Did he deserve to be like buried?
No, no.
Okay.
He didn't. And I feel bad about that. And which is the one reason I won't name him, because he was an all right guy. I mean, he doesn't wrestle anywhere in Alberta anymore, but, I felt bad about that afterwards and I apologized, you know, but the thing was, he wasn't a very dynamic wrestler to begin with. So I felt doubly insulted. So, I went back in and I hyped it up. I just went in and went full balls to the wall and they loved it. So I did probably at least a year and a half for Monster Pro. I was their monthly ring announcer. And it was good and I enjoyed it. But I got to tell you, Kyle, I do not enjoy ring announcing anymore.
No?
I don't. As I'm getting older, I don't like being hyped up. I don't like acting like I'm, come on, people. You know, I don't like doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like doing it for my voice because my voice, I talk. I mean, that's what I do. And I don't enjoy yelling and carrying on and coming out with a sore throat afterwards. I don't enjoy ring announcing anymore. I still do it when guys are in trouble. Like, I mean, my last show I did probably was in November or before, no. Before that, before we got locked down hard here, so maybe September, I did a show for CWE and he had no ring announcer, didn't show up. There was a mistake. He was like, could you please ring announce for me? And I was just like, fine. I was a lot more toned down than usual, but I still made it as exciting as I could without going crazy. But as I'm up there, man, I realized I don't want to do ring announcing. Not my thing.
Okay.
But as we went along, as we were doing Gutbuster Radio, which was one of my older shows, we decided that Dean had a television studio and all the equipment. Let's try a television show. And that's where we started doing commentary on matches. And did you enjoy it? Did you enjoy doing commentary?
I mean, I've, like I say, I only ever called the two matches I called with you, but I did. I really loved it, you know?
Awesome.
But I've loved everything I've done in wrestling. Like, I've loved being a ring announcer. I love refereeing. Mm-hmm. I love commentating, but I like wrestling the best because that's what people are coming to see, right? Like, nobody's coming to this show to watch the ring announcer.
That's true. And yet there's so many wrestlers. I don't know if you ever watched me ring announce, you'll probably notice I never announce my name.
That was something that I didn't do a lot either. You know,
For the simple reason you said, nobody's coming to see me. Okay. Yeah. So many ring announcers think that they are just like the greatest thing on the face of the earth because what's the total time of ring announcing? I mean, what are you in the ring for at the total of a show? 10 minutes? You know, people aren't there to see you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it depends. There's for me, there's usually between matches a little bit of a spiel like, hey, go check out the merchandise.
But even then, over the matches, you're in there at the most 10 or 15 minutes.
100%. Yeah.
You know, and people aren't there to see you.
No. Your job as a ring announcer is, I always say that when I was the ring announcer, I had two jobs. One was to convey information, and the second job was to hype people up to have a good time.
Right. And, you know, there was a guy, this used to bother me the most. And when I saw this guy, I just laughed so hard. There's a guy, and I don't know if he does it anymore, but he was the ring announcer down in Lethbridge.
Okay.
And this dude would come out and he was, I don't know, he was like the sex symbol dude. And he had his own entrance music, his whole spiel. And I'm just like, dude, you are the ring announcer. Nobody's come to see this overweight dude in a flashy shirt. You're doing all these characters. Nobody cares. You should be there putting the eyes on the wrestlers.
I mean, you don't ever want to take away from the guys in the ring. Like, one of the things like I had to learn when I first started ring announcing, because like I say, it was just one of those things where somebody said, hey, do you want to try this out tonight? And I was like, oh yeah, like it's going to be fun. I've wanted to do it for a while. I was super nervous about it and it, you know, didn't go super well, but I asked other guys I knew that had been ring announcing for advice. And I talked to Dixon Butts, who's probably not the greatest person in the world to get advice from.
No.
And he told me to, he was like, make sure you don't outshine the wrestlers and whatnot. So I was real timid the whole time. Like, oh, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to step on any toes here or outshine anyone. And then it became very, very clear to me very fast, that is not the way to operate. The way to operate is to go give it your gusto. And if anyone tells you to rein it in, rein it in. But you don't, you'd rather have people tell you to bring it back down a bit than you would have them, hey, bring up your performance, you know?
You know what? You made me think of a really, can I tell you a really quick funny story?
Sure.
You made me think of a time, and it combines two things, ring announcing and the whole getting heat or standing up or whatever at a show, okay? Mm-hmm. I was a ring announcing in Lacombe, Alberta, and the main event was, Adam Pearce, Scrap Iron Adam Pearce, who was the NWA World Champion at the time.
Nice.
And he was defending
currently
the title.
On SmackDown.
Yeah, currently on SmackDown. Now, he was defending his title against Vance Nevada. And in the entirety of ring announcing, I make it very clear to people, nobody lays a hand on me. You don't touch me. I'm not part of your things. Don't try and grab my thing, you know? I don't take that shit. I'm your ring announcer. You want to get heat, go find it other ways. You don't cheap heat off me, okay? Yeah. I stand up for myself, you know? Because the truth of the matter is, I'm one of those kind of guys that if you actually hit me or push me or something like that, I don't care how big you are, I will turn around and punch you in the face. I'm not going to ever be bullied. Doesn't happen. I grew up as a kid being bullied, and that stuff doesn't cut it with me anymore.
Fair enough.
So we're in a ring. We're getting ready for this match. I'm supposed to do this preamble with Adam Pearce. And Adam Pearce all of a sudden grabs me and throws me a foot into the crowd, like a couple feet, and I go in right into the crowd.
Were you in the ring? Like, did he fucking throw you?
No, we were outside in the side.
Okay, I was like, he threw you out of the ring? Jesus.
No, he grabs me and he hucks me.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing is, it wasn't that bad of a deal, right?
No.
But the problem was, I had no clue it was going to happen.
Yeah, see.
No clue.
Like, when you said all that, my immediate thought was, okay, well, if it was me, I wouldn't have a problem with anybody trying to get heat on me or beat me up or whatever in the ring. Mm-hmm. Like that would not have been an issue for me as long as I was given the heads up beforehand. Like, hey, we're going to do this to you, you know?
Like I've always been clear to guys, like, you know what? You want to get your heat. You can try and say whatever. That's cool. You want to like dress me down or act like this. You can even kind of intimidate me non-physically and I will sell it. Mm-hmm. That's not a problem. I'm not trained to take bumps. I'm not, you know, I have not the best knees in the world. I am not going to let anyone do anything physical to me at all.
100%.
Screw that noise.
That's not what you signed up for. So
exactly. Yeah. I'm very clear about that.
So,
you know, he throws me and it wouldn't have been such a bad thing, you know, except I didn't know it was coming. And I got to tell you, Kyle, I just about lost my mind. I got up and I was going to run over and attack Adam Pearce. And a voice in my head calmed me down. And I missed the part. Is bad language a bad thing on here?
No, I don't care. Go for it.
Okay. Just because I want to tell you exactly what I said. The match ended. I'm in the back and I'm kind of mad. Vance knows I'm fuming. Adam Pearce kind of gets the idea I'm pretty mad.
Yeah.
He walks up to me and says, yeah, hey, sorry. I just thought that would really sell the piece. And I said, yeah, you know what? That wasn't cool, man. And he's like, oh, and I said, no, it wasn't cool. I mean, if you had told me ahead of time you wanted to do this, I would have sold it, would have done everything for you. Right. Mm-hmm. But you didn't tell me. And it really pissed me off and it made me mad. And he's like, whoa. And I said, yeah, well, what am I supposed to do? Some guy hucks me out of nowhere. I got up, Adam, and I wanted to go over and punch you in the fucking face. And he stopped and he goes, you know, he gets all macho and he's like, yeah, well, you would have got beaten up. And I'm like, yeah, I would have, but I would have broke your fucking nose. I guarantee you that. And how cool would it have been to do the rest of your match with a broken nose? All I'm saying is maybe you should be talk to people and be a little cooler if you're going to try anything physical. And I walked away. Now, I just said that to the NWA world champion. But that's the thing is I find wrestlers are just like other people. They are. They're just like me and you. Some of my best friends are wrestlers. And the reason why is if you go in with the attitude of, oh, I got to do whatever they say because they're the wrestler, or you let somebody intimidate you and other people see it, or you let people bully you. If you're just honest and upright, and even if you have to be a little tough about it, you gain respect. Nobody gave me shit for that. Nobody, the promoter didn't come over and say, I can't believe you said that to the world champion. You know what actually happened, Kyle?
What?
Adam Pearce walked over to his merch, pulled out a t-shirt, signed it, brought it back and said, I'm really sorry, man. Here.
Well, that's, that, there's, that's a class move. Like,
yeah.
Like you say.
And that's, and I mean, the thing is,
from my perspective, like as somebody who is a wrestler, I know that like a lot of the folks that are people on the shows who are ring announcers or basically anyone that's involved who's not actually a wrestler, like I know that when I was in that position, like I would be like giddy if I got to be involved in any way. So I mean, it's entirely possible that Adam Pearce was trying to throw you a bone and just give you this like experience, you know, and be like, oh, you're a part of the show now, kid, you know. But I mean, also
be a part of that show.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Like, and I mean, I'm just trying to say, like, I doubt his intentions were you know, spiteful or anything, you know.
Oh, I don't think
he was malicious. He didn't mean to be malicious about it.
No. I just think sometimes people forget that you got to treat people with respect wherever you are, whoever you are.
No, that's,
and I think sometimes we get wrapped up in our world. I know sometimes I've been places at work, like my shoot job, if you want to call it, is a chef. And there's been times where I've gotten wrapped up in the things and I have been nowhere as nice as I should be to a younger person who screwed up.
Yeah.
Or somebody who has made a mistake or whatever. And I've been brutal about it. And then I come back and think about it and I go, you know what? That's not cool. Yeah, it's my job and it's this thing, but there's better ways to deal with people. And people should be treated with respect. I don't care if you're the guy setting up the ring, you're the ring announcer, you're the main event wrestler. When I walk in there, I'll shake every one of your hand and treat every one of you. I'll treat the guy setting up the ring as he's just an important person to me as the person who's in the main event.
Yeah.
And because everyone, that's how this works.
Yeah. Oh, it's, I've always, you know, maintained that it's important to be respectful with everyone. And even like sometimes you do have situations where you got heat with somebody. Dixon Butts, prime example. I don't know why his name has suddenly come up twice in this podcast after like not coming up pretty much at all during the course of it. But I had heat with him one time. And I still was like, okay, well, this is wrestling. I'm going to show up and be respectful and shake his hand. And he like refused to shake my hand. And that's when I got upset at him and was like, hey, you want to go outside and like, you know, settle this. It was just a weird situation, but like,
you gotta
be respectful 100%. Like, you know, even other folks who maybe I've had a disagreement with or whatever, I still show up at the show and say, you know, hi, good to see you and shake their hand and whatnot. We don't have to be best buddies or hang out and sit together and chat about wrestling all night, you know. In the locker room or whatever, you know, we don't even have to talk at all if we're not having a match. But, you know, like we still have to show respect to one another because we're all on the same team here, you know?
Exactly.
So.
And I think that that extends to like every part of this. I've gone into like small companies, very small companies, and taking a look at their show. You know, I can think of a company one time invited me to their show. I'm not going to name them. They were just starting out at the time. They just said, hey, you know, we know you have the show. And at the time, you know, I had, you know, a good following. And I go into the show and they're all nobodies. And they're not trained the best. They're not putting on the best show. But I treat every one of them like I treat the other wrestlers. I don't give them a half-ass when I'm doing some interviewing. I treat them like they're WWE stars. Like I would sit down and be interviewing Randy Orton or anyone else, because I'm showing my respect that way, because you get an instant respect for doing this, you know, to go out and put on your underwear and grapple with another fan and excite the crowd and just to put in that effort of the physicality, you earn my respect automatically. I mean, you can lose that respect by the way you talk and treat others, but if I don't know you and you're a wrestler, that's automatic respect. That's automatic respect if you're a ring announcer, whoever you are, anyone involved in doing this stuff, you get automatic respect from me. And it, all that's there is the respect to lose. You don't have to gain it with me. You don't have to prove that you're worthy to talk to me or anything like that. That's ridiculous. You know?
Yeah. 100%.
So I think, and I know it changes. It changes when it goes up a degree, when you're like dealing with corporations and bigger companies. It's a whole different thing then, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in the level of indie wrestling, it's not. Respect is automatic, but it's there to lose. There are a couple wrestlers, and I'm not naming names, who I will not talk to. I will not talk about their matches. I will not have anything to do with them. If I see them at a thing, I will not shake their hand because I want them to know that I do disrespect them.
Oh, geez.
That what the things they've said and done, that, and most of it's not to me. You know, I rarely have had anyone attack me, and I've never attacked anybody. I've never gone out of my way to say, oh man, the Canadian Goose is total shit. Don't watch that. I've never done that. Never. You know?
Well, yeah, I hope not. I mean, I'm a pretty nice fella.
I was just using you as an example.
You won't find a lot of people in that are in the know that will be like, oh yeah, the Canadian Goose is an asshole. Like,
no.
Yeah.
No. I mean, and you've known me. Since you've known me, I have never shown you any kind of disrespect, even when you were just the guy setting up the ring.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know, you've asked me in the past questions about things, and I've never treated you like you're dumb or that you couldn't do it or anything. I've tried to give you what advice I can. Some of it might be valid. Some of it probably isn't. I'm not the best ring announcer or by any means a good commentator, but I've tried to answer questions from what I know to you.
Yeah.
Because you asked, because I respect you. And I think that's the keystone of really good indie wrestling places. I mean, most people know that I've spent most of my career in indie with PWA.
Okay.
And the reason why is because they've always been a family oriented thing backstage, meaning like everyone acts like they're actually a family. I can't say that about other things. I've always been to places where there's always one or two guys who sit off and they're not really caring about the other guys, or they're either too big or they're too cool, or they just don't like everyone else, or, you know. Never had that at a PWA show, you know, but I've also seen some tremendously good backstage places and enjoyed a lot of the companies here, you know, and I've made some pretty lifelong friends. I could name you a couple of wrestlers who went from being wrestlers to these are actual friends of mine, where we even talk and we don't talk about wrestling. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I absolutely. I mean, you know, I get it. For sure. I'm friends with a lot of wrestlers, but that's just kind of, that's
yeah.
Where I spend.
Well, I'm going to swing this around for you. Is for me, some of the most exciting things in my life in this career of doing podcasting is some of the big name guys that I've gotten to talk to,
okay,
to interview. And the list of them, like, I tried to sit down the other day and think of some of the guys, and it's like, oh my gosh, I've talked to some guys that are, wow, you know?
Yeah.
I just the other day when we were talking hardcore with Madman Pondo, I realized, man, I met Necro Butcher and interviewed Necro Butcher. Why didn't I try and get a hold of Necro Butcher for this? That would have been cool. You know? I've talked to guys like, I know he's a very sad case right now, especially, you know, yesterday in the news again. But Teddy Hart, back when he was important and vital, okay, I talked to him many times. You know, I've talked to Jeff Cobb, interviewed him twice. I interviewed Jeff Cobb when he first, before he was even a name. I saw him like 11 years ago in PWA. He came in from Hawaii with a guy, and he hadn't made any kind of news, moves, anything anywhere. Yeah.
Nobody knew.
But he was this big guy, and I looked at him and like, holy crap, this dude is going to be something. And they didn't even put him in a singles match. They had him for a match, and they put him in a tag team match. They didn't even give him a name. They called him one of the Islanders.
Oh.
Right? And I was just like, man, you guys are missing the boat. This dude is going to be something. And I stayed in contact with Jeff for a long time. And, you know, even when he got signed to ROH, we still talked every now and then on Facebook and stuff. And then all of a sudden he's in ROH and he's main eventing a big show for PWA. He shows up and he remembers me. He's like, hey, you know, Tom, how's it going? We sit down, talk, have another interview, just cool stuff like that. You know,
100%. Have you ever had like nerves talking to these fellas? 'Cause like So far on Monday Night Shaw, the only person I've had on that's from like a national wrestling company or anything would be Bob Evans, and his interview will have aired a few weeks before this one. It just actually went up last week. Nice. We're recording this on the 18th of February. But so like, but I was kind of nervous about it, you know? I mean, I wasn't like super nervous about it, but I was a little nervous about it. Where was this a situation when you're interviewing these guys, do you ever have to deal with your own nerves, or does that just go back to the fact that we just try and treat everyone equally?
Well, yeah, that being said, when you meet giant superstars, it's hard to treat them equal too, right? I mean, you know that even as a fan, when you go up and shake so-and-so's hand who they brought in, you know, it's a little more intimidating, you know? For me, I've never been intimidated by a current wrestler. Like, and I'm by intimidated, I don't mean scared, but I mean like nerves and stuff.
Yeah,
I've never had that with interviewing a wrestler who's currently wrestling anywhere. I've never had that. I, however, get slightly nervous when dealing with legends, when dealing with old timers who to me are legendary in my mind because I've seen them wrestle for years. I mentioned Ron Fuller. I sat down and probably did more research about continental wrestling to do this interview with him. And it was an interview. Let's get that straight. It was part of quarantine. It turned into an interview after, but the whole thing was, we were talking about Continental Wrestling, which was a company he started, which had so many massive stars that you would recognize, yet you wouldn't know the company.
Yeah.
And it was because of competition with Vince McMahon that they caved in. But going in there, all I thought is, oh my God, Ron Fuller is a living legend. And I'm just a dude from like, you know, central Alberta, and I'm getting this chance to talk with this world renowned. He's got his own podcast, the Studcast, which is on the Vanguard Network, which has probably got like three times as many subscribers as I have.
Okay.
You know, he is a massive get for anybody, and he's going to sit and talk with me, and I do not want to seem like an idiot.
No,
I don't want to have a thing where I'm just like, he's going to bring up something and I'm going to be totally in the blank. That was the nervousness I had. I had to look. And as it got in, he was such a gracious man that, I mean, it the nervousness disappeared. And it was more like, wow. The whole time I'm talking to him, I'm trying to get the questions and getting the things out. In the back of my mind, I'm doing backflips going, yay, I'm talking to Ron Fuller, for God's sakes. When would I ever get a chance to talk to Ron Fuller, you know?
That's awesome, buddy. I'm glad to hear that you're getting a lot of fulfillment out of your interviews and whatnot.
And the most key thing out of it, Kyle, honestly, I mean, it's nice for me to have that fulfillment. But the fact that I'm recording a piece of wrestling history that may or may not get told somewhere is important, that at least I have something that somewhere down the line someone can look at to fill in something so it doesn't disappear. That meant the world.
Yeah, it's always cool when you can listen to like a podcast and you're not only entertained, but you like learn things.
Well, here, I'll give you a cool example here. Now, you know, you may not know these names, but you may. Okay. Now, Andy had done this research on this, and Andy had found out that Ron Fuller has a record that has never been beaten and probably never will. Okay.
Okay.
But he wrestled four dudes in one day, having to cross the nation once to get all these four matches in. And so we asked him, so Andy's like, well, who are the guys? You know, how tough was this? And he goes, well, I fly across to New York. The first person I wrestle, Johnny Valentine. Now, Johnny Valentine was known as one of the hardest hitting dudes. He was like Greg the Hammer Valentine. Okay. You got into a fight with that dude, it was a tough fight. Then he gets on a plane, flies across, I think it was to Seattle, and fights Gene Kaniski. Okay.
Another dude. So he flew from New York to Seattle in one day and had two matches? Like,
yeah, he flew really early in the morning, did his match in the afternoon, hopped on a thing, flew to like late midnight thing, and then gets on another plane, flies down to, I can't remember the exact places, but they're all in there. It's all across the nation. He fights the third guy he fought. Oh, who's the third guy? Oh, I think it was, was it Terry Funk, Dory Funk?
Oh, wow.
And then in the third match, the fourth match, he's with his brother, and it's late that night, and they're getting ready to do the main event. And his brother says to him, "Oh, Ron, you look like crap, man." Like, and he goes, "Yeah, had to do those three other matches." He's like, "Well, who'd you fight?" And so he told me, he goes, "Holy crap!" And I guess that night they were fighting three other super heavy hitters. So this guy went through a heck of a lot of tough guys. Four matches, spanning across quite a few miles. In one day. Amazing story. And I got to tell you, that dude is cool. Check out his podcast. He tells you exact stories. For a man for 74 years old, he doesn't miss details. And then the weird part, and I'm not sure how comfortable I am with this. I don't know how comfortable you'd be with it, Kyle. But he actually wrestled a match 2 years ago at 72 years of age
with his cousin. I don't have a problem with that, as long as he's like doing whatever is required of him to do it safely. Like, I don't know, I have problems
watching Sting at his age taking this is the crap the,
what I was
night.
Just gonna bring up was last night I saw a bunch of people online being like, "Holy cow, Sting took a powerbomb, he shouldn't do that," and I'm like, that first, before I even saw it, I was like, okay, well, he works for AEW wrestling. It's been many years since he sustained his injury. AEW wrestling is not some rinky-dink little indie. They're a multi-million dollar federation. I'm sure they had him medically evaluated. He wouldn't have done anything he wasn't cleared to do by his doctor. And God forbid, if something bad does happen, he'll be taken care of, you know?
Well, That's the same argument they said before Seth Rollins buckle bombed him into the thing and took him out.
Yeah, and then I went and I watched the footage of Sting taking the powerbomb, and the powerbomb looked perfectly safe to me.
Yeah, it looked very safe.
It was like Brian Cage is strong as an ox. He had zero issue getting Sting up. He planted him nice and flat on his back. They took their time. Like, he didn't come down hard on his neck or anything. Like, Sting's been wrestling for 40 years. He knows what he's doing. And like I say, like, I think that he would not have been put in that situation if it was even remotely like a possibility that he would have hurt himself like badly.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's always a remote possibility because it's still a power bomb and it can go wrong, you know? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, I don't know. I was not like concerned about it because I was basically like, oh, if he could take a powerbomb, maybe he's going to have matches and stuff. Like, he must be cleared, right? They're not going to let him do that if he's not cleared.
I guess it's just the same as like, we've seen tragic accidents happen in wrestling. Mm-hmm. It can happen. Doesn't mean it will. But the higher your age up, the more chances of an injury you get being life altering is extremely much higher. Sure. Brian Cage, he gave an awesome power bomb. He protected him. He did all the stuff, right?
It still looked good. Like, it
but
wasn't.
The bottom
like,
line is, at Sting's age, if somehow during an actual match something happens and he gets hurt, he ain't going to recover like Brian Cage is going to recover.
It's going to
take him longer. Have life altering problems after that. So I'm not comfortable with older guys doing, like I said about this, I said about it on our show yesterday. We're talking about it, and I said, you know what? I used to like the old days where Fritz Von Erich or Stu Hart in their 60s would come out there with their sons in a match, and basically all they did was they'd get a spot or two in where they'd throw a few punches or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't see them taking high impact moves, you didn't see them doing these kind of things. And I'm just slightly uncomfortable with it. It's great that Sting has been wrestling for 40 years. It's great he knows all these things, and he's in good shape for a man his age. But nothing changes. He's a man of his age. And obviously, he's going to get a broken bone a lot worse than someone else. He's going to take an injury way more than the younger wrestlers around him.
He might be old, but he's not in bad shape. I guarantee
you. No, I didn't say he was. He's probably in great shape.
Sting
but
is
nothing can change your
no,
age.
No. Like, your age is your age, but your body shape, I'm guaranteeing you, Sting is not only better than vast majority of other people his age, but he's in better shape than vast majority of people that are 20, 30, even 40 years his minor, you know? Like, people that are 40 years younger than him, there's a lot of fat guys that, you know, if they took a powerbomb, they'd be destroyed.
Right. And I will agree with that 100%, but nothing changes the fact that inside his internal organs and his whatnot are in there. What is he, 60 now? There, it doesn't matter how great of muscles and how great a shape you are. Your bones age at a certain thing. Things break down at a certain time. And I'm just saying, if he gets hurt, he's really going to get hurt. And that's just the only reason I'm uncomfortable with it. It's awesome that he's in good shape and he can do all these things and he's better than most people. But the problem is, if, God forbid, let's hope it doesn't happen, but a slip up does happen and he gets something broken or something torn or something, whatever, he is going to take way hell of a long time to recover than anyone else. And it's going to be a lot more painful. And I'm uncomfortable with that. That's what I'm saying.
And I think they're capitalizing on you feeling that way. That's what I'm saying is I'm saying, I don't think they would have put him in that position if there was even like I say, if there was any kind of great probability or like huge risk factor that would happen, then there's no way they would have put him in that situation. You know, I'm saying they knew it was going to make people uncomfortable. That was the intention.
Yeah.
And the fact that he went along with it and he did that, and they know it's going to make people uncomfortable, it makes me think that they have had to have gone back and double checked everything, you know, triple checked everything just because, like, if you're going to play on those feelings and make people uncomfortable, and then something does go wrong, it's going to make the whole company look real bad. And I just don't see them having that kind of idiotic lack of foresight to put him in that situation without clearing him, you know.
But you've been in the ring many times, right?
Sure, but I don't work for AEW either.
How close is it to even wrestling safe? How close is it in your mind where you've seen something like, oh, if I'd stepped over there, I could have broke my ankle, or
Broken my ankle.
In the most safe conditions, things can go wrong.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what the fear they're playing on or whatever, that's what I'm buying into is I don't know. I'd been even if it had been lame, I would have just preferred Sting doing a couple chops, using a baseball bat, and that's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I get it, because like that's the part of me that has me excited, is that like for a long time, I think I and many other people have just assumed that Sting is in such a bad way that his career is over. Well, it's become clear after they let him do that's not the case, and he's in a lot better shape than we've.
Yeah, he obviously has to be. And I was just surprised at you, because it seemed like they were doing this whole, how long can we string out having him when having him not do anything, right?
Yeah. I mean. 100%.
Like, they didn't even let him talk very much. They have like the announcers or somebody interrupted or so. Yeah. So that was a great shock, and good on them for shocking us. Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm happy for Sting that he's obviously, like I say, like I'm happy that he's physically in the spirits and feeling good enough that he doesn't feel it would be adversely risky for him to do that, you know?
So, man, wrestling right now is at this interesting age. You know, AEW is out here, and you know, we cover it extensively. And it's been a rough year. I mean, it's made some great progress, but in a lot of times, there's been so many times where I've watched it and went, that was pretty crappy in the end. You know,
yeah.
I keep praying that it gets better and better, because, you know, the more alternatives there are for wrestlers, especially if another company going up against WWE, means more jobs for everybody.
Yeah.
Means more wrestling, much better things, right?
100%.
And sometimes I worry about AEW because they do a lot of things that don't make sense. Things where you stop and you think about it, like just logically, and you're like, well, how come they told me this for so many weeks and then boom, let's forget about that. You know, so I really keep hoping that it gets to be a better show. I keep hoping, you know, last night we rated yesterday's episode, and you saw it, obviously. We gave it kind of like a 50%. Because
I'll be honest, I didn't see the whole episode. I heard Sting took a powerbomb and was like, oh, I want to see that, just because like everybody was like, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. So I assumed it was like botched and he had hurt himself or something.
No.
Then I watched it and was like, oh, it's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we're at a great time for wrestling. There's some great wrestling out there. And and fans who are listening who are wondering, well, what alternatives are out there? New Japan is still out there. Japan's got some good stuff going. I highly recommend MLW. It's a free show on the YouTube. It has some great, it's a 1 hour show, such fun wrestling, some interesting guys.
I know that
we ROH
were going to bring in,
sorry?
Last year we were set to bring in some of the fellas from MLW.
They were setting me up to talk to Alexander Hammerstone.
And then Chris Dickinson was supposed to come in too, but those shows ended up getting canceled because of the COVID. Then like we did eventually, we were able to run shows for most of the year. So thankfully for that. And from what I'm hearing too, is as soon as those restrictions are lightened up, we got more shows coming up. We've already put in the books, May 15th, I believe, is going to be our big anniversary show. And Josh Alexander will be back for his big rematch with Heavy Metal. And I think that's going to be pretty sweet.
Awesome. Awesome. So is there anything else you want to talk about, Kyle?
Well, like I say, it is. I usually like to keep it to an hour long show, and we've gone a little over. So I will I'll give you an opportunity to plug your social medias and your other podcasts and stuff one more time there. And then we will call it a day and wrap it up.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay. Well, fans, if you're interested in a show that's very – if you're interested in coverage of the WWE or – coverage of the AEW or our roundtable show where we talk to wrestlers and you can actually see some of the big name guys as we're doing this, check us out on Facebook under Wrestling POV. Wrestling WPOV. Check us out there on Facebook. Our show is called Wrestling POV Global. You'll find that on, like I said, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and check us out on YouTube, where you can see Quarantine also. WPOV Quarantine is a fun show, and we're just having a great time with it. Getting a hold of me, you can, I don't know. I haven't set up a secondary thing now. I usually don't, my Facebook's my personal one, and the best thing you can do is you can join WPOV Wrestling, or sorry, Wrestling POV Podcast on Facebook. If you ever want to drop messages to me and ask me questions about the shows or stuff, you can write into there for now. Maybe if I get somehow a bunch of a bunch of people asking me questions or stuff, I'll set up a second account. But I just still kind of want to use my Facebook now for non-personal stuff.
I hear you. It's definitely it's one of those things. Like I have a page for the Canadian Goose, but I use it so rarely. Like I just pretty much operate off my personal Facebook page and whatnot. But you know, that might just be something I need to work on and do more active on my
as things go on. I tell you, Kyle, when I first started this, I used just my name and I'd give up my name all the time, my Facebook name. Mm-hmm. And that worked for the first year. But then I started getting all kinds of crazies that I had to block, get rid of and whatever. Lots of unsolicited, strange pictures from women, which my wife was not very happy about. All kinds of stuff that I was just like, yikes, I don't want that on my Facebook. So I tend to not really accept people anymore on Facebook unless I know you.
I get a lot of friend requests on Facebook, and I've come to the realization that unless it says you have so many mutual friends and it's like quite a few, I'm going to actually just click on their name and check their profile to just make sure it's not like, hey, come check out my hot pics on, because it's like, if I want to see some hot pics, I don't need to do that on Facebook.
Yeah. You can get it for free, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when we first started, we were trying to get the show out there as much as we can. So, of course, we're like accepting anybody, right?
Yeah.
And I started getting... quite, and I don't know if you got this or if they still do this, but I started getting these wrestler names pop up, these female wrestlers that were trying to add me. And I would be like, oh, wow. Okay, cool. Female wrestler, right? Then I click onto their Facebook, and the wrestling they're doing is like apartment wrestling.
Oh,
you know, fetish wrestling. And I'm like, no, we're not a porn site. I don't care about this. If you're not a legitimate wrestler, I don't want to do this. You know,
I was contacted on Facebook one time by some guy claiming to be a promoter who sets up like fetish matches or something. And he wanted me to come in and wrestle women, but he was like making it very clear that he wants it to be like brittle and mean. And I got to hurt these girls. And I was like, he was saying he's going to pay me a lot of money, but I was like, this is some shady nonsense that I probably don't want to be involved in. You know,
you're going to get a video of being attacked by a bunch of people and then get stiffed on the page.
Well, like, it's just like, even like, do I really want to, like, do I want my character that's kind of like a friendly, children friendly character, to show up and just like be like, he wanted, like, it legit sounded like he wanted it to like be like abuse. He wanted me to abuse people, and I was not interested in that sort of thing, you know?
Yeah. And yikes. Yeah, I get it.
Wrestling.
So yeah, those are the social media stuff that's out there. I don't get a heck of a lot of chance to cover much local indie anymore, but I still go to the matches. I still try and support the guys. And every now and then we try and drop somebody's name on one of our shows, one of our national shows. And, you know, try and maybe get some work for some guys. It's a little hard right now with the borders closed. I can't get guys down to the States, but that's always my bottom line is if I can get an Albertan wrestler a few matches down somewhere in the States and get some work with another company for a little bit, I'll do it.
Awesome, Possum. Well, I appreciate you helping to spread the word about Alberta wrestling. I appreciate you helping me out in the beginnings of my career. Like I say, you were the first ring announcer that was like at the show, and I talked to you, and I think we worked together because I was on music that night.
Yeah,
that was a heck of a night. You homeboy Jesse Neal jumped off the
jump from the balcony. Oh my gosh,
that was tight. Remember the Italian Big Boss Man?
The Italian Big Boss Man.
Yeah, the Italian dude who just his straight up like. His gimmick was he was the big boss man, but he is from Italy. He was one of the guys that caught Jesse Neal. Yeah. Oh, that was great. And like, but the thing I remember was when I was doing the music that night is that not all the boys had their music. So I had to like change it to my phone every once in a while. And then I had to make sure like I had to cut your mic so that your announcing wouldn't go on until I turned the music off. Because if you had tried to announce while the music was on, it was just going to blow the whole thing, like all the speakers out. And I had Danny Duggan like criticizing me from the ring, being like, what are you doing, you shitty sound guy?
Oh, jeez.
But it was a fun show. And, you know, I went on and I served as a good sound guy for a while and then became a good ring announcer. And you know, the advice that you gave me was definitely paramount in helping me out and helping me to do that. Much more valuable than the advice I received from Dicks and Butts.
third mention. I'm going to tell you something for you. And this is a thing that's only going to be between me and you. We're not even going to explain it. Okay. But before I came on this show, do you know what I did in honor of you today?
No, I don't.
I popped myself a big bunch of popcorn, put it in a bowl, and I'm gonna have it off to the side here. That's just between me and you, and you know why.
Oh, okay.
But thank you for having me on, and I appreciate what you're doing. I've always say support every local podcaster, anyone who wants to get you the fan listening. You want to do your own podcast show, do it. You want to talk wrestling? Spread it. We need it.
Yeah.
Don't shit on each other. Don't try and up each other. Don't try and be better than each other. Just do what you do. And if this is for you, it'll come together. If it's not, you'll know that and give up or whatever. But try. Nothing hurts in trying.
Yep, absolutely. There's like it's free to do a podcast. And I mean, it's even better if you can find somebody that'll kindly edit it for you. But yeah, no, absolutely. Like the equipment required is pretty minimal. Like, I sit here I'm doing this literally with a microphone that I received when I bought Rock Band for my Xbox, you know? Like, yep. So, thank you very much for coming on the show. Sorry to take up 14 more minutes of your time than expected.
It's okay, buddy.
And like I say, hopefully I'll see you soon, and we'll get to do some work in the wrestling business together coming up. That'd be
Sounds
awesome.
Great.
Alrighty.
See you guys at the matches.
I'll see you at the matches in the meantime, in between time, brother.